Please pray with me. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, we pray that you open our eyes so that we may see Jesus. We pray that you open our ears that we may hear Jesus. And we pray that you open our hearts that we may encounter Jesus to your glory and to our growth. We ask all this in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Why do we need community in order for us to thrive? We all believe that. Now, very few of us, they think they can make it on their own without anybody else. They don't think they need community. They are so, so wrong. And Jesus would disagree with them adamantly. So why is it that we need community? Why are relationships so vitally important to us all? Why can't we live? Why can't we become successful in our inner core without community? And furthermore, then how do we go about cultivating community in our lives so that we may have this robust, healthy, strong, vibrant life? We are in a series called Rooted, Growing Deeply in Christ. This is God's will for everyone, every Christian and every non-Christian, every human being, the entire humanity. God wants every one of us to be firmly, foundationally rooted in Jesus Christ so that we may grow deeply with Him. And as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, we do so, how? Scripture, to know Jesus. In Scripture, we get to know Jesus personally and intimately and experientially. Prayer. Last week, Pastor Jeremiah said, prayer is to meet Jesus. Prayer is not so much getting things from God, but rather prayer is getting God. We get to meet Jesus. And today we're going to focus on community, to belong with Jesus. Jesus does not want you to simply believe in Him. He also wants you to belong with Him and His community. So let's turn to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament of the Bible. The author is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul became a follower of Christ. And then he went to the city of Ephesus, a very influential and vibrant city, and he planted a church. He was a church planter. And as he planted a church, he made disciples of Christ. Who made disciples? And then he left and went elsewhere. Now, years have gone by. He found himself in a prison in the city of Rome because he was telling everyone that Jesus was alive and he was making disciples. For that, he was put in chains. And now he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus. So let's pick it up in verse chapter 4. And as I read God's word with you and for you, look for words like calling or called, or words like maturity, fullness, okay? Because those are the key themes. Now, hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. There's the word calling. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says in that Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. There's the word, the key word, we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here's the big idea. The theme and the goal is this. Christ, Jesus, calls you into community to experience maturity. Let me repeat that. Jesus calls you into community. Why? So that you may experience full maturity. Let's break it down. Jesus is calling you. Okay, now that word, call, calling, called, repeated several times, right? For example, verse 1, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. You see? The same thing, called calling. Okay? And that's because Jesus' calling of you is an act of grace. It's a sheer grace. It's a gift. You are not obtaining this on your own. You are not trying to do this by yourself. You are responding to something Christ has done already. And what he has done, he is giving it to you and me as a gift, grace. So this calling is grace. Let's continue on. So what is this calling? In verse 1, the Apostle Paul starts by saying, then, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you. Then, when you come across a word in the Bible, then, you've got to know why it's there. The word then is a transitional word, meaning you got to understand what preceded the word. You got to find out what happened before then in order for you to make sense out of what follows. You see, Ephesians, it's a very short letter. There are only six pages long. The first three is the act of grace by Jesus Christ. The first three is all about who is this Jesus and what has he done? That Christ is God the Son and he came down and he did amazing, amazing, gracious acts for you and me. And chapters 4 to 6, the second half of the book, and where the word then splits right in the middle, is therefore, since Christ has done all these acts of grace, how then should we live? How then should we respond to that amazing grace? And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Okay, so Jesus' calling is grace. Let me sum it up. The key verse in the book of Ephesians is in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I am a sinner, you are a sinner, We do not deserve God's goodness or His compassion or His generosity. But because God is good, not that we are good, but since He is good, He has sent His Son, one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me and you, and who rose from the dead out of the empty tomb to give us His righteousness, that through Christ we are made right with God the Father. And He sent the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives in the hearts of the Christians. And that's all an act of grace. And Jesus is calling you into His community. So, first of all, it's an act of grace. Let's look at the word into His community. It's referring to the body of Christ, the local church. The community in the book of Ephesians is a robust, healthy, growing body of Jesus Christ. It's alive. It's an organism. Let's look at verse 4. There is one body. Verse 15, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Verse 16, from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. You see, the community into which He's calling you and me is the local church, the body of Jesus Christ. To what purpose? To what end? To experience full maturity. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Become mature, attaining to the whole fullness, whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, what? We are growing into a healthy, robust body. Now, how do you know if you or I, if we are spiritual infants, immature followers of Jesus Christ? Okay? Well, let's work with that analogy. Infants are not discerning, are they? Or are they steady? They're not discerning. They put everything in their mouths, don't they? And it doesn't matter when our son Joshua was just barely over 1 year old, we set him in his baby seat, right? You know, by the dinner table. And my wife was cooking, preparing, and at the center of the table was a bowl of kimchi, hot pickled Korean cabbage. And when I turned, there he was, putting this hot, spicy pickled kimchi in his mouth. He was not discerning. Good thing he loved kimchi. So spiritual infants are not discerning at all as to what they put in their mouths in terms of the teaching diet of the Bible. Then they don't know if this teaching is biblical or that teaching is unbiblical, because they are spiritual infants. They are being tossed back and forth, and therefore they are not steady. They have a very short attention span. They're looking for the next thing. A mature, healthy, robust, growing body of Christ. And if you are in that body of Christ, you will be characterized someone who is steady, someone who is discerning. Why? Because you are always focusing on the most important thing, like Scripture, prayer, community, generosity, sent out, and movement, making followers of Jesus Christ who make disciples, and going with Jesus wherever He goes, and Scripture, prayer. Here's a question for you. Having described those terms, do you consider yourself a spiritual infant or a follower of Christ who is mature and solid? Another example by which you may know if you are a spiritual infant is, ask yourself, are you self-centered? Let me read verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. See, he says, be humble, completely humble and gentle. It's been said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but rather, humility is thinking of yourself less or less often, because it's not about you. You're not always thinking about you. A humble person is thinking about others, not thinking less of themselves, but they're focused on others' needs, others' priorities. Okay? So let me ask you, in these recent weeks and months, do you find yourself thinking about others in your life? Or are you more focused about yourself? Why isn't anyone calling me? Why isn't anyone reaching out to me? Or are you reaching out to others? That's how you can tell if you are a mature follower of Jesus Christ or a spiritual babe. Let's continue on. So therefore, since Jesus is calling you into community to experience full maturity, how do we do that? Here's how we cultivate community. Number one, we cultivate community by living in the Trinity. We cultivate community by living in the Trinity. In the letter of Ephesians, if you look at the first three chapters, it is really, really high Christocentric, fancy word for it is focused on who Jesus is. It's putting the spotlight on the person of Christ and his deity, that he is God, and that he humbled himself, and that he became one of us. And he brought such joy and grace to us all. Okay, now, God is love. The reason we need community so badly, the reason that we can't live without community is our Creator God lives in community. Let me repeat that. The one who designed you, the manufacturer of Victor Co., is the triune Creator God who lives in this Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's a very unique doctrine of the Christianity. And this is what makes someone a Christian. A Christian is someone who espouses, embraces, and is being shaped by the theology and the truth of the doctrine of the Trinity. How? Since my Creator lives in community, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why, as an image bearer of God, I live in community. And as the Father serves the Son and the Holy Spirit, and as the Son serves the Father and the Holy Spirit, and as the Holy Spirit serves the Father and the Son, so I too must serve others. I want to be humble like my triune Creator. And that's why this is such an important and practical doctrine of the Bible. In the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 22 and 23, pay attention. And God placed all things under his, that's Jesus, his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him, the what? The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Question for you. According to this truth, where does the fullness of Christ reside as of right now? Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, but on the face of this earth, in our world, the fullness of Christ is where? Is given to the body, his community, the body of Christ in the local church, and that's where you experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you feel stagnant in your spiritual journey? How would you describe your faith? Is it hot? Is it lukewarm? Or is it cold? I'm telling you, excuse me, the Bible is telling you and me. As we reside in the community of Jesus, the body of Jesus, and that's where we experience and taste the very fullness of Jesus Christ. Show me one person, a man or a woman, even a child, who is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is growing in leaps and bounds, who is rooted and deeply growing in Jesus. And I'll show you somebody who is deeply, intricately connected to the local body of Jesus, the local church. Why? The fullness of Christ dwells in him. Conversely, I know many Christians, or as they claim to be as such, they are living such a defeated life, living such a lukewarm or very cold faith journey. And that's because they're not experiencing the fullness of Christ. Why not? Because they are not connected in the body of Christ locally. So many so-called Christians claim, I can be fine with God without having this connection with the local body of Christ. Jesus would disagree with you. So first, we cultivate community. Well, how? By living in the Trinity. Number two, cultivate community by keeping the unity. Keeping the unity, one of the key themes. And that's why through unity, we cultivate community. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is all, who is over all and through all and in all. See, again, right there, the sense of unity. So make every effort to keep the unity, because there is one God, one baptism, one Spirit, one. You are one. You are together. So do what it takes to maintain this unity. And we can do that in one really practical way. Let me read verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, just as each part does its work. Okay? Speak the truth in love. That's how we keep the unity. It's not as obvious, but let me help you and me. When we speak in truth and in love, that's how we maintain and we make every effort to keep the unity. Now, when you speak in love, what are you doing? You are edifying me. You are building me up. You are encouraging me. You are affirming me with your words of love, right? And when you speak the truth to me, you are correcting me, rebuking me, setting me straight. But you must do both and. If you only speak love without truth, that love is not really true love, is it? Okay? Why is it that you and I find so hard to speak the truth? Why is it so hard for us to confront other Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord? Because we want to be liked. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to hurt their feelings. So what do? We simply speak the words of love without the words of truth, which is no true love at all. Now, some of us, we are doing fine with speaking the truth, but we don't couch that with speaking in love, do we? It's about the truth. It's about the correction. It's about the rebuking without building the people up, without encouraging them. You see, they're not really concerned about the people. They're concerned about themselves, because it is their need to speak the truth. And they don't really care about what it does to the recipient. And that's why when we speak truth and love together, that's how we keep unity. Because we will speak only that which will edify, at the same time, which will affirm. It's like, I know you love me. And therefore, whatever you say to me, I can receive it. Not long ago, a Mosaikhauser approached me. And I knew that this person loved me in Christ. We have that trust relationship. And this person confronted me. The person spoke words of truth in love. Okay? Now, I wish I had no need to be corrected or rebuked, but there I was, being corrected, being rebuked. But again, I was willing and able to receive that truth because of the love that I knew we had between the person and myself. So cultivate community by keeping the unity. So let me ask you, here's a question that puts the mirror on you. How are you doing with that? Do you cultivate community by keeping the unity? Do you speak words of truth and love at the same time? Or do you only do one of the two or neither? This is how you know whether you are a robust, healthy, growing follower of Jesus Christ or a very immature babe. The last one, we cultivate community by engaging in ministry. Let's pick it up from verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to do what? To equip his people, the church, the body, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. We cultivate health, we cultivate community, we cultivate maturity by engaging in ministry. Christ has given you certain gifts that I have not received, and vice versa. He has given me some gifts that he has not given you. Thereby, his design is that we may interdepend on one another. That I say, I need you. And you say, I need you. We need each other. So in the equation of Jesus Christ, in his world, it's not dependence as in, I can't do anything apart from you. I depend on you. Nor is it independence, meaning I don't need you. I can do it all by myself. But rather, in Jesus' economy, it's interdependence. We have received Christ, therefore I need you and you need me. We need each other and one another. My job as your pastor is to prepare you, train you, equip you so that you may be qualified, you may be ready and prepared to do what? To the work of the Lord through the local body, the church. Let me make another confession. I have been feeling really overwhelmed with all the demands and the responsibilities of being a pastor at Mosaic House Church. There has been lots of transitions, you know, staff, layoffs, and then you know, we have new staff positions, and there was a resignation. So lots of moving parts. And in the midst of all this, I found myself doing more than I should. I found myself doing the things that are needed to be done. But instead of equipping you, raising you up, I was doing the work. And I failed you, therefore. And I failed Jesus Christ, and I failed myself. And thus, I felt overwhelmed. My job is to equip you, prepare you, give you tools and training and resources and experience so that what? You may do the work of the Lord, because that's how you become mature. And I become mature by helping you do that. So we cultivate community by engaging in ministry. See, robust, growing Christians, we don't say, oh, I have to serve. No, you don't have to serve. But we get to serve. It's an honor. It's a privilege. When we serve, we become like Christ. Jesus served us. He served you. And that's why it is a fitting response for me and for you. And we get to serve Jesus. We get to serve one another with the gifts Christ has apportioned us. So how are you doing with that? How are you using God-given gifts in your life today? In the midst of the pandemic, when we are not able to gather together on Sundays, how are you doing? What are you doing? Remember this. If we don't use our gifts, we are not growing. We are remaining as infants. So think of ways. You know what? I'm just going to do this. You come up with your own application. I'm not going to spoon feed you. I preach the word and I give you some ideas. And here's one. You come up with how right now, this week, in the midst of the pandemic lockdown, as we're not meeting in person, how are you using God-given talents? You answer that question yourself. Let's review our conversation today. Jesus calls you into community to experience full maturity. And we cultivate community by living in the Trinity. We cultivate community by keeping the unity. And we cultivate community by engaging in ministry. You will see on the screen a picture of the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's a mosaic tile, tiny little pictures of all of you, which we put together and we created the face of Jesus Christ. I think that's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, because we belong with Him. Not only do we believe in Him, we belong together, and we are the body of Christ. We are the living organism. We are alive, and we must make a difference. And as we engage in community, we grow. We become healthier. We become robust, and we are rooted foundationally on the person of Jesus Christ, and we grow deeply. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we get to receive your word, the words of Jesus, and that we get to receive the call of Jesus Christ, which is an act of grace, and we get to cultivate community, because in community, we get to grow. We get to grow deeply in Jesus. So now, help us with the application. We believe that Christ is calling us to make an impact in our world right now. He wants us to grow right now through a community, because we belong to Jesus. So help us to come up with our own application as to how we may use them, O Lord. And Lord, one application is house churches. We devote ourselves to house churches. And there we get to serve. There we get to be humble. And there we get to share our gifts. So help us to do that. And we pray in the name of Christ that your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us courage now. Amen. Friends, Community Hub, following the service, come and join me. It's not just about you. When you join us, your presence edifies all of us. It's not just about you. So let us be humble. Let's be others focused, and let's cultivate community, and let's keep meeting together somehow via Zoom or in a safe environment. You may, as a house church, host a watch party saying, hey, next Sunday, let's get together in a safe environment as a cohort and worship together. Come up with those ideas.